Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. You have stumbled upon our favorite thing, our podcast.
Our podcast. Welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. It's a little piece of the interwebs where we get to really just learn how to be better.
It's a little piece of something, that's for sure.
I love our goofy videos that we put out. It's very song and dance and jazz hands. Love that. But I also love, I'm big on the self-growth, guys. I can't even say it out loud. Growing of myself. And this is like a really, I love this opportunity to talk with interesting people and learn how to be a better person and be better in a relationship with my husband.
Yeah. We're talking about Enneagrams today, and we're going to learn a ton about them and what they tell us about ourselves. And for those people like me who grew up with the Myers-Briggs type of personality type model, this is different, and we're going to learn why it's different. Before we get to that, mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to start doing this, okay? This is being released on March 24th. It's being recorded on March 11th. Fun question. How do you think the world is going to change between March 11th and March 24th?
Yeah, because right now, if you're listening to this a year from now, we are knee-deep in discovering the impacts of coronavirus. And there are cases in our community. We live in North Carolina. There are cases in our community. There's been some local schools that, out of an abundance of caution, that have already shut down. I'm praying that our kids are still in school.
I don't think our kids are going to be in school right now. I think our kids are out of school, and we're home, and I'm homeschooling them right now.
Okay.
That's my guess.
What about the NCAA tournament? Are they going to be playing for people?
Yeah. I think either they're going to play in front of no people, or this would be great for a Carolina fan if they just pretend this season never happened. If we could just pull that off, that would be the greatest trick ever for UNC fans. You know what? We're going to do it over next year.
We are, I think all of us as parents and as citizens and as human, we're all worried. But as a business owner, I'm worried too.
What do you think the world looks like 2 weeks from now? Because this is, just so you know, March 11th, if you can remember back when this happened, this is right when Harvard is canceling classes, Duke is canceling classes, all of these universities are starting to get on board to cancel. I think it's going to be a totally different world in 2 weeks. I'm trying not to be alarmist, but I'm not being alarmist because no one's going to hear this for 2 weeks.
Will all the bars be empty on St. Patty's Day next week?
Ooh.
You mean last week?
Last week that just happened? Were they all empty?
It's going to be a weird look into the future. Guys, I'm going to circle up here.
I think I'm going to say this about people who go out for St. Patty's. I think they're going to go out anyway.
I know. The kiss me, I'm Irish. Maybe instead they'll just
pretty strong.
They'll just do air high fives or something.
Elbow bump me, I'm Irish.
Okay, guys, today's Enneagram. Enneagram is a very cool way to understand the motivation behind why you are the way you are. And you, there are tests that we're going to be putting into the description, and a really amazing book for our, from our guests that I'm going to put there in there as well. If you want to learn more about it, there are 9 different types, and it, things like, do you need, like, is success important to you? Do you need to feel secure? Are you more loyal? Are you the entertainer? Like, and you're not just how you act, but why you act that way. So it's really eye-opening. And our guest is Ashton Whitmore-Ober. She's a community psychologist and certified Enneagram coach. She has her BA in psychology and her MA in community psychology and social change. She's an entrepreneur. She opened a business at 22. She was featured in Mika Brzezinski's book, Know Your Value. So she's had a retail business called the Glitz Boutique. She's done it all, as well as her background, but she has a real passion for Enneagram and life coaching. So she's on Instagram as Enneagram Ashton. Her book, The Enneagram for Relationships, comes out March 31st, 2020. Hopefully you'll the world will be in a really great, safe place at that point. But she's a writer, a public speaker, an advocate for the underdog, and she's our guest today.
And most importantly, she's going to try to help us explain how Kim could take the Enneagram test 3 times.
And get a different result every time.
Okay. 3 different results.
Welcome, Ashton. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited and trying not to fangirl, because I've been a big fan of you guys for a long time.
Aw, thank you. Well, we are fans of yours. We found you on Instagram, and you have a super fun Instagram account. What's the name of your Instagram account, just so everybody knows and can follow you?
Yeah.
There?
It's Enneagram Ashton, so it's just the Enneagram and then my first name.
So lots of useful information there. But first, tell us, like, what is Enneagram?
Yeah, so the Enneagram is an ancient, I always call it like an ancient typing tool. There are 9 types. So it's similar to other personality typing systems. Like, many people may have heard of Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinders. But the main difference is that instead of showing you who you are, it explains the motivation. So why you do the things that you do. And so there are 9 different types, and we say that there are 9 different lenses of viewing the world. So we all view the world a little bit different.
Yeah. So, Ashton, I read your bio, and I'm like you. I grew up around the Myers-Briggs type indicator. My dad was a pastor and a marriage counselor, and so when he did any weddings, he always made them take the Myers-Briggs. So there's, I think for that one, there are 16 types. There are some similarities. The thing that is different to me between Myers-Briggs and Enneagram is all the geometry that goes with the types. I'm a math guy. I love that crap. But I read your book and I started seeing like the hexad and the triad and the like all these different kind of shapes, and I was like, oh no, I want to go straight to my type. That's probably a mistake, right? Like, we need to learn a little bit more about the actual Enneagram, which, when you say Enneagram, it is that like sort of geometric shape that looks like, I call it Lisa Simpson's head, because it's got like a neck and then some
spiky
hair.
Oh my gosh, that is so accurate.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so it is, you know, made up of triads. So, like, we do talk about the triads, and so it separates the 9 types into 3 different triads and ways of responding. And so, like, types 8s, 9s, and 1s, they respond with a gut reaction. 2s, 3s, and 4s, they respond with their feelings. And then 5s, 6s, and 7s, they respond with their thoughts or with their head. And so, you know, it does, even though there are 9 different types, it does separate them into like-minded triads as well.
So it doesn't necessarily negate the Myers-Briggs. It just, it can support it. It can, yeah.
It's different. So, like, for Myers-Briggs, it tells you, you know, you might be an ENFJ. And that's who you are, and these are your personality characteristics. Whereas if you're saying, like, oh, I am a 2, because I'm a 2, then I'm not just, you know, somebody who is giving or helpful. My motivation behind that is because I want to be needed and wanted and loved. And so it takes the behaviors and it moves towards the motivations instead.
Yeah, that part's interesting to me, because I do think I've had people who have looked at me and said, oh, you're an ENFP. Like, it takes them 5 seconds to look at me and just like, you're just a scorching ENFP. And I think with the Enneagram, and we've witnessed a little bit of this, is a lot of times what you are is not exactly what you expect. And the reason why is it is a deeper connection with motivation than what Myers-Briggs seems to be, more of like an outer projection of yourself.
Yeah, this definitely is more inside stuff. So
that's why we always say that you can't type people, because you, at the end of the day, don't know the motivations behind why they're doing the things that they do. Whereas you can definitely see if somebody is extroverted, like,
right,
you know.
I will tell you a funny story. So I have taken, the first time I took the Enneagram, it was last year. We actually went to one of those relationship conferences. It was like a Dave and Rachel Hollis relationship conference. They recommended us take it. I took it. And then I strongly disagreed with the results. It came back that I was equally 7 and a 4. I took it knowing we were going to be talking with you. I took it again. I got another 7 and a 4, and I announced it to the people we work with, like at our kitchen table. They all started laughing, and they're like, no, that's not you. That's not you at all. You're not that person. So I took a third test, and it came back that I was like a 2 and a 3, which I think I agree more with. But
You were trying
harder. But Penn was like, I'm going to take this test for you, because this is not you. You're not a 7 and you're not a 4. I'm going to take it for you.
You did the same thing to me. We were arguing at each other that we weren't the thing that we got. And then, of course,
that's not how it works.
Yeah, we got to like 12 pages of your book, and it was like, don't tell other people what they are. Don't be an idiot. So
we're learning. But our different tests, like, because I got different, I really have a problem with some of the questions they were asking. So are those tests accurate, A, and are there some that are more accurate than others?
Yeah, so the difficult thing with taking tests is that we're humans. And so even if we think that we're not going to try to answer things a certain way, most of the time we do, just because it's our natural reaction to do that. And so we always say, like, tests are a great place to start because it can provide you like a starting point. But it's important that you research what the actual motivations, the core desires, the core fears are behind that, because most of the time the people that I work with, they're not their number one result, which is super interesting.
And I'm sorry, you were going to say something, honey?
I was just going to – you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how does it help to know what your partner is? Like, how does it help the Enneagram help a relationship?
Like, it has completely changed how I view relationships as a whole, because once you know their Enneagram type, you know why they might be doing those behaviors that annoy you. Right. Or you might understand why they, don't like to bring up conflict or things like that. And so it's just super important, not just in romantic relationships with your partner, your spouse, but with family members and with colleagues at work and with friendships. It just really helps to understand why they tick, and like the things that make them who they are.
And probably helps to communicate, to know how he as a 7, like, why, like, what his motivation is for the way he's, you know, acting.
Yeah. I definitely am looking forward to hearing about how we fit together. I also want to know, what is the Enneagram number for the person who disagrees with the Enneagram results? Because that's what Kim is. We don't know what she is yet, but I bet there's a number for people who aren't so sure about their Enneagram score. Is that like a 9?
Yeah, so 9s, they often can see themselves in all of the types, because they are someone who goes with the flow, who, you know, like to people please. They like to be who the other person needs them to be. And so they are able to, you know, be able to look at all the types and say, yeah, I can see that. Or
every single one of them. I was like, yeah. But although 9 was like a very low, it like ranked very low for me. Anyway, so.
You're a mess. We got to figure out what you are while we're doing this.
So
let's start with that. What the heck are you?
What the heck am I? Well, yeah. Can we also go through, as people, you get like a wing, you're not just one category. Right. You were kind of a mixture of several. That was my aunt. Yeah. You can't see this, but I'm doing like this weird arm movement now. You're a mixture of several.
So your wings are on either side of your main type. That's a common misconception, as a lot of people think that it's just your second highest score. Mm-hmm. But just like wings on like a bird or an angel, your wings are on either side, which it just means that you have extra qualities that you could tap into or take on to become the best version of yourself. And so a lot of times, you know, you have a wing that's stronger than another one. For example, I have a very strong three wing. So I'm a two with a very strong three wing.
Me too.
Does that mean that I don't take on the one wing? No, it's just less likely. I wish I would take it on a little bit more, because then maybe my life would be a little bit more organized.
Same thing.
By the way, I have a recommendation to anyone who's listening to this right now. You're probably listening to it on a phone or an electronic device. Go ahead and it'll keep playing. Go on to like your Safari browser and just Google Enneagram. It's Enneagram. And the first image that pops up like on Google, you'll see what it kind of looks like. I feel like that's a good visual aid for people, because you can look at it while you're listening.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
And we'll also list some tests, some of your favorite tests, in the description of this podcast so people can take it along. We're going to suggest that people take it before they listen, but So those things, it all kind of makes a big soup of what you are and what your motivation are. Are there types that shouldn't be in relationship with each other? Like if I'm a 2-3 and he's a, what are you, a 7?
I'm a raging 7.
Okay, raging 7.
So 7-8.
7-8, yeah. So should,
I'm a 7-8.
That's right.
A challenger. I am definitely a challenger.
100%. Oh, jeez.
Although, am I? Maybe I'm not.
Oh.
Which makes me a challenger. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, should we not be married to each other?
No, that is not the case at all. I get questions all the time in my DMs about like, I'm a 1 and I'm with a 6. Like, is this doomed or something like that? And the reality is we're all just trying to be the best version of ourselves. And so any type can be matched up with any type as long as you are what we consider healthy. And so that is taking on the positive qualities of our type, being able to move into our growth line and being a healthy version. Like there are going to be people that are really successful that are any type, and then there are going to be people who really struggle, and that's just the nature of relationships and the world in general.
Does that apply to people who are the exact same type?
Yeah, so it happens very rarely.
Yeah.
Do I see people with the same type? But same thing, if you know there are 2-2s, they're going to love to show each other just how much they care, but they're both going to be like very needy too.
That would be hard.
Yeah, it's just being able to recognize those healthy and not so healthy qualities of each other.
Because there are strengths and there are weaknesses. So knowing the strength of your number and then like the weaknesses, I think is great in terms of just personal growth. And I'm a personal growth junkie.
You also, like, both of your female best friends are 7s, like the girls that you're best friends with. And I know this because like getting to know them, I think they have like 7 qualities.
Who's that?
I don't want to like out people who are here, but you have like lots of best friends and they all have similar.
So I'm attracted to a 7.
I was just going to say, like, I could not imagine having a relationship with any of those women. It would be a total disaster. Like, that was kind of what I was saying.
No. Okay, let's go through the types quickly, the type 1-9, if you don't mind. And then kind of have you tell us in brief just a summary of what this type might identify. Also, her book is brilliantly lays this out. You can get more information. We're also going to link to that into the description. But just some, and then like strengths and weaknesses, and then how those people need to be communicated with. Is that cool?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So let's type with type 1.
Yeah, so type 1 is called the reformer, and they are going to be driven by a need to be good. And so they are hugely motivated by being right. They usually see like right versus wrong, black and white characteristics, and they care about responsibility, being ethical, and social justice.
Okay.
They're probably guilty of shoulding people every once in a while.
Like, you should do this. You
absolutely
should do that.
I gotcha.
And they're super critical, not just of themselves, but of other people as well. So they can be a little bit
judgy. So that's
but also
a weakness.
Honest and loyal.
Like So that's a weakness, is maybe a little judgy, but what's their strength?
Their strength is that they are like super dependable, responsible. They're going to be the ones who remind you of the rules.
Oh, I see.
They're big rule followers, which I guess could be a negative or a positive, but they definitely care about like what's right.
Yeah. So that this is where you'll see me identify with everything. I'm the least judgmental person though. Like I don't judge people like to a fault, but I'm a big rule follower. I have pretty strong opinions. I am like, I have a really strong like sense of justice. It's like to the point where we play like games. Like we play that, that game, it's called A-Hole, whatever. It's a drinking game. And if I sense that the president has made unfair rules that are limiting like the person, like the person has to give you my five best cards, like my sense of justice, like I cannot stand when people abuse other, like, so that's where I can be a little bit of one.
She's headed into eight territory.
But I'm not a perfectionist at all. Like to the point where if I were a little more organized, my life would flow better. So that's where I see, this is where I'm going to see myself in anything. How do ones need to be talked to in a relationship, working with them or in a romantic relationship?
Yeah, they should be talked to like in a very direct way. They don't like for you to like beat around the bush, like get to the point and move on. They can be opinionated, and so they might that might come across to them as like their opinion is the only one that matters. But you know, as long as you approach them with grace, they need a lot of grace for themselves and for others.
Okay, but be direct. I like it. Yeah. Okay, type two, the helper, which is what I tested with most recently.
Type two is the helper. And so they are motivated by a need to be loved and to be wanted. They're extremely giving and generous and empathetic. And so they go through life you know, with this fear that they won't be loved. And so they're trying to like do things to earn other people's love.
So that's the motivation behind what I do. Yeah. It's like I am a helper type of person, but my motivation according to this test is I'm doing it because I just want you to like me.
Yeah.
Basically what
it is. They really care about being liked, like a lot.
I hate that. I hate that I care about being liked so much. Right, because I don't think I do, but I think I do. Like, don't we all a little bit? Maybe I care a little too much.
I openly and honestly and obviously care about being liked. This was one of my higher ones.
Okay.
The two was, I think I was a four and a two were the ones I was close to being high for.
But we help people because we're selfish. We just want to be
liked. No, I'm not kidding you. I've said this before. I think that like a large percentage of why I'm a good person is because I want people to like me. And I know that sounds like really egotistical and douchey, but if the end result is me being nice to other people, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's worse things,
but I like, I can't change, so we're talking about motivations, Ashton. I can't change the fact that I want people to like me. It is very deeply like set in my core. When I hosted a show on Home and Garden Television when I was in my 20s, and the local newspaper went and did an interview with my parents because I was on national TV. And they asked my dad about me. And the only thing he said that was quoted in the entire article was that I came out of the womb begging for applause. Thanks, Dad. That's what he said. That's what he said about me. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then, you know, I think the older I get, the more I just accept who I am.
Yeah.
I am somebody who desperately needs people to like him to the point that I will become a better person. Not because it's making the world a better place, but because it checks that box of people liking.
Well, but this wasn't your strongest thing. So how do
I'm just telling you.
So twos are great helpers. Yeah. So our strength is we are helpful. We are, but our weakness is maybe we are so desperate to be liked that it kind of holds us back.
It can come across a little bit as like being needy or overly accommodating.
Yeah. How do we need to be talked to? The twos
in very kind like ways.
Penn's laughing,
no criticism, like not even constructive criticism.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, just tell me you love me.
What were you about to say? What were you about to say?
I can handle criticism.
No, you cannot. You can't.
He's like, what were you about to just say?
I love you so much, but like anytime I try to suggest something, you come back with like a counter argument of something that I've done wrong.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. We're going to fight about Ashton. Mm-hmm. You've opened a can of worms here.
I know. Sorry.
So, no, that's... I'll be better. But name something. I do everything perfectly. So okay, what is
you,
their criticism?
You asked me one time. You're like, is there one thing I could be better at? And I told you what the thing was that you could be better at. And you came back with, I do everything. That was your response. And I was like, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
Hey, so, Kim, do you like to be recognized for the things that you do?
Oddly, no. Like, if I go...
That's true. She doesn't.
If I go volunteer somewhere... If I do something, I don't want people to take a picture of it. Like, we go volunteer at this, I'm not even going to say where it is, but like, we go make meals at this one organization and in our community, but I don't want them to put it on social media.
But Kim, like, the empath part is she's off the charts. Like, she feels other people's feels in a way that it can be crippling for her sometimes.
Yeah.
Like she'll, so, I mean, I know you score high for four, but we'll get to it. But that sounds a lot like a four, too.
See, okay. So, okay, moving on. Type three, which is also in one of my wings, I guess. So, type three. Yeah.
So, type three is the achiever. And they are motivated by a need to be seen as successful. And they want to be valued for that. And so they love to receive praise from people for their achievements and accomplishments, things like that. Respect is huge for them. Like, they don't as much care about like being liked, but they want to be respected. So you don't need to like me, but you need to respect me. So that's the difference there.
Yeah. What are some of the drawbacks? What are some of the things that threes struggle with?
So they can feel like they're the best at everything and overly competitive, that they are, you know, like nobody can do it quite like them because they are the best.
So, Ashton, for whatever it's worth, I'm a 91% 7. I'm a 77% 2, which we just talked about, and I'm a 77% 3. Those are my three big ones. So we're going through, like, you and I are a lot alike, Kim. This is
We're related. Maybe we're going to find out. We're going to do like one of those ancestry things.
We're spending too much time together. Like, we're on the same menstrual cycle.
Cycle up, honey.
That's what's happening.
I know. Like, you know how dogs, they start to look like the owners start to look like their dogs?
Yes.
We're starting to look alike. We need to see other people. Okay, how do threes need to be talked to? Like, what's the best way to talk to a three?
Yeah. They need to be praised. Like, that is, like, they are the types that love for their accomplishments to be recognized. They need to be told that they're doing a good job, that they are, you know, really great at what they do, like things like that.
Okay. Four, which is one of the one time I took one test, it said I was a four, or two times, I guess. So talk to me about a four.
So fours are the individualist, and their biggest fear is that they'll be seen as inadequate or insignificant, with their biggest desire being that they'll be understood or special or unique.
Okay, so what are they great at?
Yeah, they're really great at showing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think.
find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Empathy, because they are the most feeling oriented on the Enneagram. And so they are just really in touch with their feelings and other people's feelings as well. They often feel like the black sheep, like nobody is quite like me, nobody really gets it. But they're also, you know, very like sensible and sensitive, and they do have that line connection to a two, so they can be really helpful as well.
Is there a connection in some of these with like extroversion and introversion?
Yes. So I know that, like, obviously you are very extroverted you are very introverted. Yes. So, you know, fours can be a little bit more introverted. Like your sevens, your twos, and your threes are more extroverted at times. Not saying that you can't so be one of those and be introverted, but it's just typically what we see. And you scored highest for 2, 3, and 7.
Yeah. And I want to clarify something with Kim. Kim does get energy. I'm just going to speak for you now. Is that okay?
Okay. Thanks, man.
Kim does get energy from within. She is, but when we did the Myers-Briggs study, she was kind of right on the line between an extrovert and an introvert. But one of the things that my dad taught us is that if you are like a scorching extrovert, you will pull, because of like the yin and yang, like force of things, you kind of make your mate by comparison seem more introverted than they actually are. I wonder if that happens with the Enneagram as well.
I mean, that definitely could be. Yeah. I feel like I am also right on the line for introversion and extroversion, and I receive my energy from being by myself, and I'm a two, right? But my husband, who's a six, is way more introverted than me. And so when you're looking at the comparison between the two of us, like I am, people like laugh in my face when I tell them that I get my energy from within, because I am very extroverted at times.
Yeah, you can play the role for sure.
Yeah.
How do fours need to be talked to?
Again, with like grace and kindness and letting them know that their feelings are valid and that they are okay to be feeling that way. A lot of people just want to come in and fix things, right? And so sometimes fours are comfortable with melancholy and need that time to process and sit with their feelings. And so just being gentle with them and not making them get over things right away.
I love it. That sounds very me. Okay, type five.
Yeah, so type five, they are driven by a need to be seen as capable and competent. Fives, I would say, are the most introverted on the Enneagram. They love to like isolate themselves, and they spend a lot of time in their heads doing research and gaining knowledge because they want to be seen as like know-it-alls. They love to show other people the things that they know.
Okay. So that's a strength, is that they're very like researched and detailed in that way, that they have
super
a lot of
knowledgeable, they're wise, they're visionary.
Okay.
But they can isolate themselves. So they really don't like to talk about feelings. They don't like to talk about any of that like mushy gushy stuff.
Emotions are hard for them.
This sounds like a billionaire CEO.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Like feeling, it's hard to feel all the feels. Yeah. So how do they need to be talked to?
You need to be able to give them their space that they need. And I know that that's going to be really hard for a lot of the types, especially like in a 2-5 relationship, because twos like are a little needy and want to like receive that love and care. And fives are like, wait, you're about to like deplete my resources. I need some time by myself. And so just giving them that space and those personal boundaries to be who they are.
Okay. And so six, you say your husband's a six. Tell us about the six.
These are the loyalists. And so they, like their name, are just very loyal. They do have the most issue with anxiety and fear. They usually fear like fear itself, because their biggest desire is to have security, support, and guidance. Mm-hmm. So they often are like looking towards authority figures to tell them like what to do next. But they're very responsible. They're always prepared. Like, I don't need to be prepared for anything. Like the coronavirus.
You're like, check. Like, got it.
Yeah, check. Done. Got that. just very kind and committed and trusting and just like really great troubleshooters. But their big downfall and like their weakness is that they spend a lot of time in their head. So they're over worrying. They're, you know, making things that are not actually occurring, like, you know, and dealing with like some anxiety and fear.
How does a six need to be talked to?
They just need to be reassured, right? Like that everything's okay, everything's going to be okay, you're doing a great job, just like that constant reassurance that everything's fine.
I told Penn recently, we were going through, we had, you know, a big project that was coming up, and I was super, I struggle with anxiety, and I was, you know, a little nervous, and Penn's like, how do you need me to talk to you right now? I'm like, I need you to tell me everything is going to be okay. And his instinct was to say, I know he didn't say this, but I knew he wanted to say, well, I don't know if everything's going to be okay. But I'm like, no. Regardless, I need you tell me it's going to be okay.
I think you're sort of right about that, Kim. Like what I want to do whenever someone tells me there's something wrong, I would want to try to fix it immediately instead of listen to or reassure. And so that's normally my first thing is you're like, oh, I'm really worried about this. Oh, we'll just do this.
And I'm like, no.
That's not, no, I need you to reassure me. So you may have a little bit of,
I have everything.
You're a mutt. So we've got to figure out what the hell's going on. Cause you're a mutt. Every time you take it, it's something different. And every single one of these, you've been like, that's me. I think with the exception of, I don't think that you're an investigatory journalist
or whatever the type five one is.
Okay. No matter how many people you leave bruised and bloodied along the way.
That was a
so long as you can make a name for yourself.
If anybody can name that movie and put it in the comments, you get extra bonus points.
Yep.
Okay. Type seven. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So this is the entertainer, the optimist, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So their biggest fear is that they're going to be limited or bored. Mm-hmm. And because they have this desire to be content in whatever they do. And so they are constantly looking for new experiences, new adventures, new activities that are going to like make them feel more content in where they are.
I'm looking at your little... I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but like it is because I...
We've called up your Instagram page on the other side of the screen here.
Oh,
and it says like tries to avoid negativity.
No,
check.
Like Barry,
loves to joke around. Check.
The one I'm laughing at is Barry's emotional pain.
Oh my gosh. He is a graveyard of emotional pain. Like I'm like, he's gone through some stuff. Like, listen, this man is he's a smile and joker stuff, but he's gone through some stuff. There's been some stuff in his life. And I'm like, let me feel this with you. Let me.
I don't want
to. Yeah, I'm good. Like, moved his parents out of his childhood home into assisted living. And I was, like, bawling my eyes out.
Everyone around me was crying.
And, like, I'm, like, sweeping the house. It's going up for sale. This is the house his parents brought him home from. He goes, where are we going to get lunch? I'm like, no, let's feel this. He's like, I'm really craving Indian. I'm like... I'm like, just feel this with me, honey.
I don't want it.
So that's a huge trait of sevens is like they don't want to deal with the emotional pain. They don't want to even acknowledge that it's happening. And so that's why they seek new things. So saying like, oh, what's next? What are we going to eat for lunch? Yeah. Then I don't have to deal with this emotional pain that's happening.
Or if I may, I think it's sometimes feelings are a waste of your time, Ashton. They really are.
I agree, but I can't help myself.
I'm gonna get on my soapbox here. Every once in a while, you can just say, man, that sucks. Let's move on. You can do it all in your head and move on. Now, will it flood and eventually lead to just a total breakdown in a couple of years? Maybe. I don't know. It might. But at this point, I do think that if you live with someone who really likes to take time to feel those emotions, you can be allowed every once in a while to say, let's skip this and turn on 30 Rock.
Okay.
And
so how does a seven need to be talked to? How do I need to be communicating with my seven?
Yeah, so they are going to not want to be tied down. They're going to want to make sure they have freedom. And so just like being able to communicate that you understand that you see that they need these things. I see you taking notes, which is funny.
I know. I was like, okay, sorry.
Yeah, okay, this is what I need to do. And just like embracing the fact that they need to move on to the next thing at times. Sevens, you know, they are also extremely generous and outgoing and exciting, but sometimes they also need to be reminded to like focus on the here and now and to be present. And sevens often have a really hard time doing that and focusing in general.
I just had a weird thought, and I don't think this applies to me, but are sevens prone to infidelity?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything you're describing, it just sounds like, I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, it could, because moving on to the next thing and like needing that adventure.
Well, I would say, yeah, but let's not typecast.
Well, that's exactly what this is.
It's a motivation for something.
Well, yeah, literally, so like if somebody
let's
is...
Let's not typecast. Let's do an hour on literally doing typecasting.
Stop it. Yeah. Okay, I hear you.
I don't want to put you in a...
In a box.
In a box, except that's... Like, we're literally looking at nine boxes right now.
We're putting you in a nine
okay,
boxes.
Okay, look. So here's the reason
but why the Enneagram shows us how to get out of the box by Ooh. Using the positive traits.
What if you don't want to get out of the box?
Oh, then you're not ready for self-growth.
Okay. We're going to get to that in a second because that's probably...
okay. So right, type eight. So,
by the way, I have no desire at all
I know. When would you have time?
I don't have time to cheat on you. I don't have any desire to. I know I hit the jackpot.
We're starting to look like each other.
I saw all these things on it and I was like, oh.
But we've also... Let's move on. Yeah. We've also seen those marriages where that happens and I wouldn't qualify those people as sevens.
Yeah. So okay. I'm probably wrong. That's why I was asking.
Okay. Type eight.
Type eights, their biggest fear is that they're going to be controlled. And so they want to protect themselves from that. And so they are typically very assertive. They're usually the strongest type on the Enneagram. They're protective, not just of themselves, but they protect their people. And so they always are trying to protect the underdog and very social justice focused and just really want to do the right thing and stand in that. So they're also very like self-confident and decisive and...
Yeah, so Max, producer Max here, says he is an eight. You took it?
Okay. I took it. I'm equally a seven and an eight.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like 90-something on both.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're either like a seven-wing eight or an eight-wing seven. So the eight's biggest downfall then is like sometimes they don't recognize how tough they're being, so they can come across as like being a bully. Because they are
very gently
like,
right
that
now.
Is not the first time I've heard that.
Really?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Nerd.
So my sister is an eight and we have a podcast together too. And we eights and twos are like polar opposites.
Yeah.
Really. Because sometimes she'll be talking to me and I'm like, gosh, why are you yelling at me right now? And she's like, I'm not yelling at you. Like I'm just having a conversation. Yeah. And I'm like, you're yelling. Stop. You're yelling. Or like, why are you being so mean? And she's like, I'm not being mean at all. And so eights really struggle with being able to like identify how they might sound to other people.
Yeah. I literally just, my daughter, who's 10 years old, we were talking about the coronavirus last night. And she's like, Dad, stop yelling. And I go, what? She's like, you seem so upset about this. I go, no, I'm just talking about, and I had no idea how my tone was. It's like Will Ferrell's character. I have no control of the pitch or tone of my voice.
What Enneagram type corrects him and says that was Mike Myers?
That was no, that's Will Ferrell.
I have trouble controlling the volume of my voice.
The tone and pitch of my voice.
Austin Powers.
I hope the Holderness family community can back me up. That's where
I go. Okay. So how does Max's wife specifically, how can I tell Felicia how she needs to talk to Max?
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of compromise because do you know what type your wife is, Max?
This is just speculation, but I'm looking at it. I think judging from what you had said, I want to say she was a 2 and 5.
Yeah. So twos, like they're going to need some reassurance, right? And so when they're coming to eights really want people to be decisive. And so like you need to approach them with the same decisiveness that they you know, present. And so they just want you to be direct with them. They want you to like take on that assertiveness. They want you to be like authoritative, but also recognizing that they will never be controlled. And so make sure that you aren't trying to do things that they don't want to do.
Yeah, she will. That's totally us a lot. She's like, just take the lead. Like, you know how to do all this stuff, but you let others make the decisions for you. Just do it. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, because then when you don't do it, you're pissed that somebody said something that you didn't want them to do.
Yeah. Okay. Nine. What do we got?
Yeah. So nines are the peacemakers. So they are just trying to keep the peace around them. Their biggest fear is being in conflict. And so then they're motivated by having a peace of mind, being able to like keep their environment peaceful. And so they're extremely loving, they're trusting, they are also empathetic. They're able to see both sides of a situation. I always call them like the devil's advocate because they're always that person that's like, well, did you think about it this way? Mm-hmm. And that's how I knew the biggest difference between a two and a nine, because that quality of a nine like annoys me, because I'm like, no, I didn't think about it this way, and I don't want to think about it that way.
Stop presenting me with other good options.
They can be very laid back, go with the flow, and usually because they're trying to keep the peace, like they're going to do things that other people want to do. And so that's, I would say, their biggest downfall is that they have a difficult time speaking up, voicing their opinions, voicing like something as simple as where do you want to go for dinner, because they're trying to keep the piece.
I have nine urges when I'm around my friends. I have wonderful friends, and I've surrounded myself. My closest friends are people who generally don't always agree with me. It's kind of cool. Like during the political season, we scream at each other because we're on different sides of the spectrum. And I love that. And I'm always the person in the middle, like trying to keep people from trying to kill each other. But I don't know that I'm a nine, but I do have urges all the time with my other social reactions to be a peacekeeper.
So that sevens and nines can be confused sometimes because of that. Like they want everybody to, it's not necessarily that they're trying to like keep the peace.
No, I just want people to like me.
They're trying to like make sure everybody is happy.
That's what it is. It just went off. No, it's not everybody. It's to make sure. It's back to my hubris of wanting everybody.
Yeah. So
to
it's
like
not that
me.
you don't care about peace. It could be full long war.
I don't
war.
Give a crap about anything but myself.
Well, you said it.
So that's like that's a great example of how like we can do similar behaviors as other Enneagram types, but it all comes down to the motivation.
The motivation, it is. And the motivation isn't really peace, I guess. It's just having people say, oh, thanks, Pen.
So, right. And then how do nines need to be talked to then?
Yeah, in like a loving, kind way, like with your tone of voice and stuff, but also encouraging them to voice their opinions and that their opinions do matter and that we are listening to them and they're being heard.
Okay.
That really helps them.
Statistically speaking, are there any, is there a general evenness to these categories, or are there typically more of a certain number in the populace than others?
So a lot of women will automatically mistype as twos, just because how society shows how like women should be is helpful and giving and generous. And so then once they actually get down to the motivation, it's less women, or it's less people who are actually twos, and more just like what we've been taught and how to respond. But as far as like specific statistics per type, it's just that like, you know, extroverted people are usually fall in these types, and then like the workaholic people are usually threes or fives. And so like we can kind of generalize from that, but not so much like overall.
Is there like a rare one of the numbers that's more rare than others?
I think I would automatically just say four, but I think it's just because like they want to see themselves as unique. And so like that to me feels like the most unique type because of that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about me a little bit.
Back to Pen.
Well, no, we've gotten through all nine of these, and I would love to use myself as a guinea pig here, because you mentioned what type I was. I looked at it and I was like, sweet. Yep. That's me. High five. Self five. Good job, you. And the sort of central tenet of your kind of your central tenet is that you need to know you're in this box so that you can get out of it. And I mentioned a little bit earlier that I don't want to, like, I'm okay where I am. I'm very happy and comfortable with my situation. I think I'm surrounded myself by good people. I'm like super okay
I'm
with
good.
That. And you said, well, then you're not ready for growth. Mm-hmm. So I want to be open-minded to this and ask you to elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I think in order to be ready for growth, you need to be able to understand those weaknesses in your type. And so, like, are you able right now to identify things in yourself or in specifically related to your Enneagram type that would need to be changed?
She's like, no, good.
I mean, so the weaknesses.
Meanwhile, I could write you like a 12-page document about things I'd like to change about myself.
Yeah, true. And Kim and I have had this conversation before. So, okay, so what are my weaknesses? We've talked about it. I'm a 7. Is it FOMO? Is that because that's
Yeah, FOMO okay. is huge for 7s. Mm-hmm. And you know, you talked about like the need to be liked, and so do you experience FOMO because you feel like excluded?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I feel FOMO. I feel FOMO in every essence of my life. I feel it when my kids are at school and I can't see them because I love them. I feel it when my wife is on a girls trip. I feel it when my friends are, you know, my super rich friends are taking like a private jet to Mallorca, which is ridiculous.
I don't even know where that is.
I mean, it's pretty, yeah, Mallorca. Yeah.
I feel it all the time. And I don't know if it's a fear. It's an acknowledgement of missing out where a lot of my motivations are I'd like to be successful enough so that I can have the freedom to have these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that. I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like what do I really need to change about myself?
In a relationship, if we can just do let's unpack a little bit. I wouldn't mind it if you felt some things. Just to acknowledge just any amount. But that's more for me. I mean, you're swimming along just fine in theory. He is. But I do sometimes try to have a deep conversation of like, and it happened this morning. I brought something up. I was like, I think what I'm feeling about this, we had, you know, because of coronavirus, whatever, we had a big event that was canceled. It's mm-hmm. for everybody's benefit. Listen, I'm not saying that people's lives are like, but let me be disappointed. I'm like, I think maybe I'm disappointed and maybe I'm a little worried about this. And maybe he's like, okay, cool. I need to go upstairs to go edit this thing. I'm like, have a conversation.
Yeah. So moving on to the next thing, right? Yeah. The next thing that'll bring you joy. And so it really is like an evaluation of what are you okay with? What are you not okay with? Are you okay with burying all of that emotional pain? Or do you feel like at some point it's just going to come out, bubble over and explode? And then you wouldn't have like properly dealt with it along the way.
I mean, it's probably going to explode, but it's the same theory I have about going into the ocean. Like, Kim's afraid of sharks. Like, if I go into the ocean's beautiful and awesome.
I know
there are sharks in there. And if I look over and there's a shark and it's just looking at me like, here I come, my response isn't going to be, oh, darn it. It's going to be like, yeah, that seems about right.
You're in its home.
Yeah. This was the risk I took. Worth it. Good life. And then I get eaten. Like, that's kind of the metaphor that I've used before. I know it's weird, Ashton. I know it is. It's weird.
No, it's 100% normal. Like, honestly, when you emailed me and you told me you were a 7, I like was not surprised.
No,
at
no
all.
One
just
is.
From your videos,
it oozes like out of our videos. I'm sorry about that, everyone.
throughout reading all about Enneagrams, we were cleaning the office here at the studio. This relates to you, Penn, in kind of a loose way. Penn's drinking out of his best dad ever mug that he left here because of his ADD about 2 months ago. And my wife and I were cleaning the office and we were throwing things away. And she put this mug in the throwaway bin.
Not, you could have.
Not
yeah.
in the trash, but she put it near. And I looked, I go, why would you throw away a mug that says best dad ever? She's like, it's all chipped. I go, yeah, but won't that best dad feel really sad when it's no longer in existence?
No.
She's like, whose is it anyway? I know you didn't get it. I'm like, you're right. A better dad than me. Penn had it and he left it here.
World's okayest dad is what I'm going to get you guys for Father's Day.
I'm already being just okay.
Okay. So is there anything you want to leave us with here? You have your book, which will be out. When is it officially out?
March 31st. So it's
very
coming up.
Exciting. Yeah. And I'm assuming people can pre-order and all that fun stuff.
Yep. It's available for pre-order on Amazon, but also Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever you can find books. And yeah, it's called The Enneagram for Relationships. And it's not just about romantic relationships. It's about your friendships and your family members and your work colleagues and just how we can better interact with each other.
I love it.
Subtitle, What's Inside Lisa Simpson's Head? You can have that.
I love that.
You can have that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for spending this time and helping us kind of get out of our own way and realizing that our type, like we are typed, right? But we don't have to stay in that box necessarily.
I'm still very much in my own way, but thank you for like, honestly, I'm...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I want to have like real conversations about this, and thank you for keeping it real with us.
Yeah,
and, like letting me
absolutely
know things that could be
and keep me posted, Kim, on your Enneagram journey because I'd love to see
no
what lands with you.
I know I'm a big old soup of Enneagram. I'm all yeah. I think because I just like feel everything, and I
think once you continue to make your way through my book, you'll feel better at the end.
Yeah, no, I read the two. I'm like, okay, this aligns with me. Okay, anyway, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.